This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah. Wassalatu wassalamu ala Rasulillahi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I want to make sure that you can hear me well. I'm going to do everything I can to speak clearly because sometimes the mic doesn't sound clear. So will you help me? By letting me know if it's not clear. In 1978, we had a mayor of New York City named Ed Koch. And he was famous for asking this question. He would see me in a radio station, TV station. He said, Imam Siraj, how am I doing? And every once in a while, everybody have to ask the question, how am I doing as an imam, as the board chairman, as a father, as a husband, as a wife, how am I doing? Every once in a while, if you're a Muslim, you better ask yourself the question, how am I doing? المؤمن قوي خير وحب إلى الله من المؤمن الضعيف وفي كل خير. A strong believer is better, more loved by Allah than a weak believer, though there's good in all of them. Can you hear me? Can you hear me well? I'm saying to you, I may be down there. I may sit at your table. I want us to ask the question, how am I doing? Years ago, I was in Atlanta, Georgia, and I ran into a doctor friend of mine, Muslim Dr. Niazi. And he was agitated that day. He said, Imam, we have three enemies. And he was agitated. He said, the first enemy is sugar. You know anybody from Sudan? Do not be like the Sudanese. The Sudanese never put sugar in their coffee. They put coffee in their sugar. Probably didn't hear what I said. Sugar, be careful. Number two, he said salt. We have high blood pressure from salt. And I watch some of you as you put the salt in your food. I watch you as you put the sugar in diabetes. Sugar and salt. The third one, I'm not going to tell you. Unless you ask me. Late. You want me to tell you? Tell you the third one or don't tell you? I'm not going to tell you. Unless you ask me later on, I'll tell you, inshallah. The question is, what is the level of our faith? Is it high or is it low? There's a Muslim store that I go to every day to get my newspapers. And one day, I saw something that I never saw before. It's a Muslim store owned by Muslims and the workers are Muslims. And it said, no alcohol sold here. I said, Allahu Akbar. A Muslim store that said, no alcohol sold here. I said, Allahu Akbar. Until I looked carefully, it said, no alcohol sold here on Sundays before 2 p.m. How's your faith? If you study Islam, you will learn for sure everything that Allah invites us to is for our good. Everything Allah prohibits from us is something bad for us. How many of you ever heard of the Congressional Black Caucus? In the United States, the Congressional Black Caucus are legislators. African-American legislators. And the motto of the Congressional Black Caucus is Black people have neither permanent friends nor permanent enemies, just permanent interests. And if you are a Muslim, if you are a human being, you want something that's in your best interests. In America, there's a news station called MSNBC. And one of the workers there, a woman named Rachel Maddow, she said this, and I'll never forget it. He said, watch what they do, not what they say. Everybody talk. I'm a Muslim. Really? Aretha Franklin said, take a look in the mirror, but don't look too close. You may find the one you worst hate the most. Take a look in the mirror. So what I would like to do tonight for a few moments is to take a look about our faith. Because the future of South Africa has everything to do with our faith. The future of the world have everything to do with our faith. Let's review. Do you believe? Sure. Probably every one of you say, yeah, ma'am, I believe. So the Prophet alayhi salat wa salam was asked by Jibril, Akhbirni an al-Iman, what is faith? Imam, this is basic. We all have faith, really? You sure? Tu'minu billah wa malaikati wa kutubihi wa rusuli wa yawm al-akhir wa tu'minu bil qadri khayrihi wa sharrihi. About 30 years ago, I'm in a subway on my way to a prison to teach a lecture at a prison. And I went there, came back, took a bus to the prison, and took a train. And as I'm standing on the platform, I said to myself, Siraj, you have to understand predestination, qadr. What I'm going to tell you, you're not going to believe it. You're going to say, Imam Siraj, you're making this up. I swear by Allah, what I'm about to tell you is the truth. I'm standing there saying, I have to learn about the qadr of Allah. What does it mean? I'm saying, what does it mean? I said, I'm going to study it. I go on the train. I sit down on the train, and there's a man next to me, a white man. He said, are you a Muslim? I said, yes. He said, what do the Muslims say about predestination? And I realized that I had to understand about predestination as part of faith. What does it mean, predestination? You mean Allah wrote it out before it happened? Yes. But Allah is just. He cannot be unjust, even an atom's weight. It doesn't mean Allah made you do it. You had a choice. Let me give you an example. The big opponent to man, Shaitan. Jinn. I have not created the jinn or the humans except to worship me. Allah gave a commandment to Iblis. Bow down to my man. He refused. Ma manaka ala tasjuda idh amartuka. Why did you refuse when I ordered you to? He said, I'm better than him. You created me a fire, and him you created mud. Khalaqtani min narin. Stop there for a moment. Who's speaking? Shaitan. You created me. In the United States, we have what they call chaplains. Do you have chaplains? An imam over a masjid. A rabbi over a synagogue, a minister over a church. But when you have an institution, you have imams in a school, imams in a hospital, institutions, rabbis in institutions, police. Do you have that here? You don't have it. So in Harvard, one of the most prestigious universities in the world, ever heard of Harvard University? Harvard have more than 40 chaplains. Again, what I'm about to tell you, you're not going to believe me. You're going to say, Imam, you're making it up. Allah my witness. The head chaplain of Harvard University is an atheist. So a student come and they want to learn about God. They want to learn about Allah. They want to learn about the hereafter. And the chaplain say, I am an atheist. The question is today for us to take a look at ourselves, the qadr of Allah. Here's shaitan telling you Allah created me. Qala rabbi fa'andirni ila yawm al-din. My Lord, this is shaitan speaking. Question, is shaitan a believer? He knows yawm al-akhir, he knows. He know who Allah is, he knows. You know there's going to be resurrection. Is he a believer? Yes. If you think he's a believer, raise your hand. You're not sure. You really believe he's a believer? Even though Allah said he's kafirun, minat kafirin? I get it. See, the point is, brothers and sisters, the point I want to make, belief is an acknowledgement. It just merely say, yeah, Allah is God. What is the practice? Let me leave you with this thought about the hereafter and about the qadr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If there is no life after death, this life makes no sense. I'm serious. There's an imam I know, Imam Ahmed from Arizona, went to visit him. He said, Imam Siraj, I went to Jordan to visit my mother. And when I went to visit my mother, I said, Assalamu alaikum. She says, Wa alaikum salam. Who are you? He said, I'm your son, Ahmed. She said, oh. 5 minutes later, she said to him, who are you? He said, I'm your son, Ahmed. 5 minutes later, his mother, his beloved mother, said, who are you? I'm your son, Ahmed. If there is no life after death, this life makes no sense. World Health Organization said that 95% of the people of the world have ailments. 95%. More than one-third have more than 5 ailments. There's a brother in my masjid. He said, Imam Siraj, I take 29 pills a day. 29 pills, why? Kullu nafsin dha'ikatul maut. Every soul shall taste of death. What's the point? Your mother died, your father died, your children died, your husband died. Your leaders die, your imams die, your scholars die. What's the point? If you don't have faith, this life makes no sense. Let me give an example. The Prophet, peace and blessing be upon him, said that Allah asked the angels, did you take the life of my beloved child, the beloved child of my slave? Yaquluna na'am, you said yes. Madha qala abdi, what did my slave say? When you took the life of his daughter, when you took the life of his son, when you took the life of his beloved wife,
husband, the grandfather, the mother, the father, what did they say? Whenever Allah asks a question, he don't ask a question because he don't know the answer. He's asking a question to teach us a lesson. ماذا قال عبدي؟ يقولنا حمدك واسترجع. They said, praise be to you, Allah. We come from Allah to Allah, we return. What's Allah's response? Ibnu li abdi baytin fil jannah. Build for my slave a house in Jannah. Why? Why? Because you know that you are a slave of Allah. And you have to do what Allah say. You have to act as Allah acts. It tells us to act. Read a hadith. It's called in the hadith literature, a black woman, Imratun Sauda'a. She came to the Prophet, peace and blessing be upon him. And she complained that she had epilepsy. And she said, like a faithful slave, or a slave of Allah, Ya Rasulullah, make dua for me, that Allah heal me. What the Prophet's response? He said, In sabarti, in shitti sabarti, walakil jannah. If you are patient with this disease, Allah will give you Jannah. Or if you wish, I make dua for you. I said to myself, why didn't the Prophet just make dua for her? A long time I'm thinking, why? And then you know what? I got it. Wallahi, I got it. What the Prophet did, peace and blessing be upon him, taught us a lesson. The real lesson in life. Allah's in charge of everything. You can ask him. But if it doesn't happen, you have sabr. I did some research. How many people on this earth do you think have epilepsy? Handful of people? 50 million people on this earth have epilepsy. And the Prophet is not here to make dua for them, but because he taught her a lesson about sabr, about patience. When I talk to an audience, I like to look at the people, see if they're listening to the message. Whenever I'm talking to the people and I'm looking. And one day I was in Pittsburgh and there was a table to my left. And I noticed nobody was watching me on that table. Everybody else looking at me, but that table there had their eyes somewhere else. So I followed their eyes to see what they were looking at. And on my right was an interpreter for the deaf. They couldn't hear. But they heard me through the interpreter. Allah gave them the ability to read signs. And sometimes we are so ungrateful for what we have. We have the ability to hear the imam. The imam recites the Quran. He leads the salat. We have all of that. But there are some people can't hear. We can hear, alhamdulillah. And when you look at this world, the world is suffering. There was a flood in Pakistan, one third of the nation was underwater. How did you feel about it? All over the world, people are suffering. You may know about Pakistan, but most of you don't know about Mississippi, a state in the United States of America where a lot of black people couldn't get clean water. How you feel about people? Watch what they do, not what they say. Because we as Muslims say a lot of wonderful things, flowery things, beautiful things. But the question today before us, take a look at our faith. I say, brothers and sisters, you know we're going to be tested. You have a test here in South Africa, unlike the United States. But you know what? You have your faith. Let me ask you a question. The Prophet, peace and blessing be upon him, said, Ajiban li amru mu'min. Wondrous is the affair of the believer. No matter what happens for him, it's good. If he's tested with some difficulty, he's patient, and that's good for him. But if you're given some blessing, he's thankful for the blessing Allah give him, and that's good for him. Let me ask you a question. I want you to be honest with me. If Allah gave you a choice to be wealthy or poor, which would you choose? How many would say wealthy? By the way, my hand is up. Oh, now you're going to put your hand up. Your hand is up now. All right. How many would choose to be poor? Okay, I'm going to talk to you later, me and you. We're going to talk, right? You know something? Everybody would love wealth. There's nothing wrong with that. Why? You can give sadaqah. The Prophet, peace and blessing be upon him, never anyone asked for sadaqah, he said no. He never said no. He give. And there are some people that are wealthy and they don't give. A little bit. They don't give. And even though we would rather be wealthy, let me tell you what the Prophet said, alayhi salat wa salam, yawm al-qiyamah. He said, ittalaqtu fil jannah fara'aytu aktharaha al-fuqara'u. I looked in Jannah and saw that the majority of the inhabitants were poor people. Yadhqul fuqara al-jannah qabla aghniya'a bi 500 'amin. And the poor people will reach into Jannah 500 years before the wealthy one. I'm not saying don't want wealth. I'm saying do what you're supposed to do. My good friend Yaqub, you know what I'm going to say? He texted me. This man texts me almost every day from South Africa. I love you, man, but you're crazy. In always wisdom, he said, Imam Siraj, do everything with a good heart, expecting no reward. And I wrote him back. Do everything with a good heart, expecting no reward, except from Allah. Never, ever, ever in Quran, never in Sunnah, where Allah asks you to do something without him saying what he gonna do for you. Martin Luther King Jr. said, life's most persistent and urgent question is, what are you doing for others? I changed it, like Yaqub. Life's most persistent and urgent question is, what are you doing for yourself by serving others? Where did I get that from? From the Quran. وَمَا تُنْفِكُمْ مِنْ خَيْرٍ فَلِأَنْفُسِكُمْ. Whatever good you spend is for yourself. Whatever good you spend is for yourself. So now today we want to take a look at ourselves. Martin Luther King said, every one of you is either a hammer or an anvil. Either you will shape the society or be shaped by the society. Your children, may Allah bless them. Beautiful souls. We're losing some of our children. They're leaving the fold of Islam. I was blessed to become Muslim after having lived a life as a non-Muslim. Allah guided me to Islam. The happiest time of my life is when I became Muslim. So dear brothers and sisters, I conclude with this. Rashu said, watch what they do, not what they say. The essence of Islam always is what Allah is going to do for us. من جاء بالحسنات فله عشر أمثالها. Whoever does a good deed will have 10. من صلى عليه صلاة صلى الله عليه بها عشر. Whoever makes salam on me, prayer on me, Allah will make prayer on you 10 times. Are you coming to get me? Come here for a second. I'm going to let you know he's trying to come get me.
Thank you.
You going to let him come get me? Huh? Yes?
He said, yes. Okay.
I'm almost finished. Alhamdulillah. In the Bible, it says, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friend. That's in the Bible. The Prophet, peace and blessing be upon him, said, no one who dies and go to Jannah will want to come back to this earth, even though he's given the whole earth and everything in it. إِلَى الشَّهِيدِ Except the shaheed. What's a shaheed? Give his life for Islam. Why he want to come back to this dunya to get all of the things in it? No. He wants to come back to this world and die 10 more times in the way of Allah because of the great honor that he received from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You can't lose. Khalidina fiha abada. Imagine living in Jannah forever. You know, everywhere I go, you know, me and Ali flew in this big plane coming from New York to Dubai. And Ali, you probably didn't count how many bathrooms. I bet you didn't. I do stuff like that. A lot of bathrooms. You know what? In Jannah, no bathrooms. No cemeteries. Nothing. Forever. Good. You here, Allah has blessed you, chosen you to be Muslim. You accept it. My one advice for you as I leave, don't forget about the people that are non-Muslim. If you're not going to invite them to Islam, I want you to listen to what I'm about to say. Would you allow me to be honest tonight, truthful? Watch what they do. How can I say I'm a slave of Allah and sell the people something that's destructive for them? If I got a business, I ain't selling no pork. If I got a business, I'm not selling cigarettes. Wait, ma'am, why can't we sell cigarettes? Are you kidding me? According to the World Health Organization, they say if the nations of the world do nothing about it, by the end of the 21st century, 1 billion people would have died as a result of smoking cigarettes. Remember, no alcohol sold here? If you're a Muslim business, I don't know nothing about your business, but I'm telling you as your brother, if you have a Muslim business, don't sell alcohol. Don't sell pork. Don't sell cigarettes. Because you can't tell me that you love the people and at the same time you give the people something that's destructive for them. Very least, give them dawah and say to you, Mrs. Jones, I'm sorry, I don't have pork. Pork is not good for you. I'm not going to sell you pork. Alcohol is not good for you. I'm not going to sell you alcohol. Cigarettes are not good for you. I'm not going to sell cigarettes. I want to say to you, I love you. Fisabilillah. Some of you I'm just meeting now for the first time. I love you so much you can't even begin to imagine. The thing that we can do, we can make South Africa better. Me and Ali talk about it. This country, our South Africa, powerful with a lot of possibilities. And you will play your part as Muslims in this country to make South Africa better. May Allah bless all of you. Jazakallah khairah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.